Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today is Dimitri Leyland. Hey, Dimitri.
Nice to be here again.
And we are here to talk about
Update
Visual Studio
3.
Visual Studio 2013 Update 3 RC.
Yes.
15 syllables of developer goodness available now for your downloading pleasure from MSDN. And so we've shipped Visual Studio 2013, then there was an update 1, there was an update 2, this is now update 3. It's a release candidate, so it's go live license. It's not quite finished, but it's getting pretty darn close.
Yeah, pretty darn close. A lot of great features in there. And, you know, I thought it'd be great if I kind of walk through the history, because like you just said, there's been a lot of updates.
That's an excellent idea.
That's an excellent idea. So I put together one slide for us to kind of talk through it. So We've had a lot of things happen since the release of Visual Studio 2013. I mean, it seems like just yesterday it was October and we shipped RTM of Visual Studio 2013. We also shipped .NET 4.5.1 with that release. And then we had our launch event. And during that launch event in November, we released Visual Studio Online. The first time kind of TFS got rebranded in the cloud, and we really put that out there as our developer service.
Yep.
So that was an exciting time. And since then, we've shipped a lot of updates. These updates, as we've talked before, these are cumulative updates. In other words, you don't need to get one, then two, then three. You can get the latest one that's out there. And they're fully supported by us. You know, when they hit RTM, they're great. They bring features. They're not just bug fixes anymore, last update. So
they're not service
update
packs.
They're literally not updates
to the product.
Exactly.
Those days are long gone.
Yeah, long gone. So update 1 affected both Visual Studio and TFS. That came out a bunch of new features. And pretty soon after November, I mean, from November to January, we shipped a kind of a bunch of new capabilities.
And we did a show on update 1. If I recall correctly,
it's all fuzzy. it's been too much going on.
We did a show on update 1. We did not do a show on update 2 because that launched at build, so there was an awful lot of talking
Overload, right?
Videos.
There was so many
and you had product team members showing off the features, which people probably prefer to you and me just clowning around on this show. So we chose not to do a show on update 2.
Yeah, update 2 was big. We shipped a lot of things, and just like I'm showing here on this slide, we had actually at build shipped a release candidate of Visual Studio, but the RTM version of TFS for update 2. But the release candidate came with it for Universal Apps, so that was the big Universal App capability. If you want Universal Apps, they're in update 2. We also made Visual Studio Go GA in the same month. I mean, the month of April 2014 was very busy. We had, Visual Studio Go GA, we had new releases of our Python and Node.js tooling for Visual Studio. Some folks don't even realize we ship those, but we do have those on CodePlex, but they're shipped by us. They're real products. They're just open source over through CodePlex. So we shipped all those capabilities in April. And then when May arrived, we shipped the RTM version of Visual Studio. That was already TechEd, right? So back at TechEd. Yeah,
right.
So update 2, RTM finally shipped at that point. Once again, Universal Apps kind of hitting the RTM stable.
A lot of Azure tooling.
Yeah, lots of capabilities. I mean, the list is huge, right? We'd never cover it here. We also released this multi-device hybrid app thing, which is the Cordova tooling in Visual Studio, the preview release of it.
Which we will be doing a show on in a few weeks.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great topic. And then we shipped .NET 4.5.2 in the same month. So another update to .NET, some minor changes there. And before you know it, we shipped Visual Studio 14, right?
Yeah.
14 doesn't mean a year, doesn't mean a number. That's just a version of Visual Studio. It's kind of the first preview of Visual Studio
version.
VNext.
Yep.
And it came with ASP.NET VNext. That was the big thing at TechEd, right? This new ASP.NET VNext thing, what is it? Well, if folks are curious, go look at .NET Conf. We just did a great .NET conference. It was over here in Channel 9 Studios, and we talked quite a bit about that, plus TechEd has a lot of content. So,
And that's
a lot of
Roslyn tooling is a big thing in that.
We had a lot of out of band releases before that, but yes, 14 brought Roslyn with it as well. So this diagram here doesn't show everything. I mean, by gosh, I actually thought about doing everything, then I said, Dimitri, don't do that to your viewers. They can't see font this small. But this is the big stuff that I just wanted to call out. And now all of a sudden we're here in July and we're landing on the RC of update 3, which once again brings more capability. So today, it's all about RC.
Right.
So I figured it'd be nice to kind of summarize the big areas of improvement in update 3. Update 3 affects both Visual Studio and TFS, right? So you need to install on both sides to get all the features.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just install it for Visual Studio, you will get a bunch of new capabilities. In fact, I would say in this release, the majority of the capabilities are in the Visual Studio portion, but some of the really cool ones are also in TFS. So we did changes to CodeLens, right? We added Git support to CodeLens. You're going to demo that later. We did a bunch of improvements to CodeMaps, quite a bit to show there. We did some stuff in IDE. We made Windows Store debugging a little bit easier with the multi-monitor support. So now when you launch your app, it's going to remember which monitor it's on. You know, little things, but I think big for Windows Store developers. We had a bunch of debugging improvements. I'm not going to go through them here because we're going to demo a bunch of them in detail. And you know, even release management, test case management got updated. Desired state configuration support was added to release management. Test case management, you can customize your work items finally. You know, test cases, test suites, finally customizable. So quite a bit to demo today.
Cool.
All right. So let's do some demos.
Let's
what
get
do you say?
To it.
Awesome.
Let's get out of slides. Let's fire up
the
product.
We need slides. It's all yours.
All right. I'm going to start using this very cool Surface 3 Pro.
My Surface 3 Pro. So all keep your hands off of it after the show, okay?
I'm going to put my hands on it during the show.
That's it, and that's it.
And I also want people to understand that my demo notes are on my Surface. I have ditched the paper for this show.
That's amazing.
A viewer.
You always have
a
paper.
A viewer wrote in, suggested that. I want you to know I do listen to your comments, and when appropriate, I do change my behavior.
Robert's been using paper forever. He usually comes with like this thick
addicted to paper,
book, and he's like,
but
oh,
I'm working on it, and I'm joining the 21st century.
You're following me. You're basically doing what I've always done with my other Surface.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm following you.
All right, we digress.
Okay.
Back to the demos.
We digress. So, one of the things that we heard was customers wanted more integrated support and better support for Git. We've got great support in the product for TFS and Visual Studio Online, particularly in the realm of CodeLens. But we've now extended the CodeLens support to support Git. So it looks like this. So let's create a brand new project. Doesn't matter what we do. I'm going to do a Visual Basic Windows Store app. We'll make it a hub app. And what I'm going to do is add it to source control. Okay, and the dialog comes up asking me, do I want to use Team Foundation or Git? I'm going to choose Git for this. And this gets created. All right. So now if I go into Team Explorer, notice that I am in Git. I do have the option of installing the third-party Git command prompt tools if I want. I'm going to pass over that. I can go into settings here and set my Git settings, particularly my username, my email address, etc., where my default repository is. So I can set things like that. And
in case folks don't know, you mean you're working with a local repository. That's the whole point of Git, right? You're not right away forced to connect to some TFS server or something. You could
if I wanted to,
you could,
but I'm going to do this all local.
Yeah.
Okay, so made a bunch of changes, obviously, and I'm going to do my initial commit. Okay, so this is now committed. So now, I'd have to close this, but if I come back into appxaml.vb, notice that I now have CodeLens support, tells me that ArrowGreenMS made a change to this. This method was last changed by ArrowGreenMS. Tells me that there's a change. If I hover over this, I get the little tooltip. If I click on this, I get this pop-up that tells me the commit ID, the description, the author, and then it gives me a little bit more information there. If I double-click on this, then I can come look at the commit details. Okay, so that's cool. So
it
now
makes it really easy to navigate around kind of the changes, especially, I mean, this is just you, right? But then you have five other people doing their commits, and it just makes it much easier to see what's going on.
So let's come in and make a change. I love the enable frame rate counter. I love the idea of it, but when I'm just developing, I don't necessarily always want to see it.
I always turn it off when I'm just starting it.
Yeah. So let's turn that off or comment it out. Okay. And then let's go back to changes. Let's come in, turned off frame rate counter for dev purposes. When it comes time to test, of course, I'll turn it back on. Okay, and then notice immediately the CodeLens updates and shows me that there are two changes. If I click on this, I get to see both of them. initial commit, turned off frame rate counter, double click on this, go to the commit details. Another thing I can do here, if I right click on this, is I can not only view the commit details, but I can send an email to the person who changed this. Something like, like these things on, so it's okay if you turn it off for your purposes, but please don't check that in, you know, something like that. Yeah. So I can send an email directly. If I right click on this on the code lens, I also get not only the ability to refresh these, but then I can also set my code lens options, which pops up the options dialog and shows me all of the things that I can change here.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things to note here. We're not connected to TFS, right, with our repository. You're just working locally. But if you were, all the concept of, you know, associating your code with work items would show up here as well. So Code Lens, one of the cool capabilities is lets you actually see, you know, how your code relates to the work that you've been assigned or other people have been assigned. You know, why did Dimitri check that in? Oh, he's working on this work item. It makes it a lot easier to track back work. So here, you can turn some of that on or off, but by default, you'll see all of that if you're connected to, to a TFS or Visual Studio Online Git repo. You also have the automatic refresh capability. So even though you do have that refresh button, it's good to know it's there. We all know
we committed a change and it showed up immediately.
Yeah, but even if people committed a change in a server, if you were connected to a server, the changes will come down to you automatically. So you don't have to like worry about going in there hitting refresh over and over.
Right.
But you could. You have that option.
Yeah.
If you're like me, you'll hit save 100 times and refresh 20.
So the ability to do this with Git is now built in. Very, very cool.
Awesome.
All right, so next thing I want to talk about is application insights. I think we'll probably do an entire show on this. We haven't yet, but we should do a show on application insights. But basically, application insights gives you the ability to get metrics and data on a running application. Yeah. So see what your users are doing, see, you know, where the issues are, see what the, you know, the patterns of usage are. You get a lot of useful information on an application.
Yeah. So just to give a little bit more context on App Insights, I would kind of describe it as three things. You know, it gives you instrumentation for an application. Mm-hmm. So you can instrument your store app, your phone app, you can instrument a website, so you can see what your users are doing, like you said. But you can also do monitoring of your server. So you can actually install it on a Windows server or an Azure worker role or something and see, are there exceptions being thrown, is performance an issue, so you can really get rich kind of server data. And then you have the ability to also do availability monitoring. So you can point at an endpoint and say, let me know if it's on, let me know if people from China have latency over this amount of seconds hitting it. So there's a bunch of services kind of wrapped together under App Insights, and it's this service in a cloud, right?
Yep.
But also we have great Visual Studio tooling, which you're about to talk about.
Right. So to use Application Insights with a project, you need to basically wire up the project. And to do that in the past, I love saying the past to refer to the version that everybody is using since the current version has just shipped.
Yeah.
But anyway.
We're moving fast.
I know. So there is an extension for this. There's an Application Insights Tools for Visual Studio extension, which you could find on the code gallery.
Yep, it's been up there for a while. The team ships every couple of weeks, I think. So
Application Insights, there it is. The version, the current soon-to-be prior version is 1.3.2. But now, with Visual Studio 2013 Update 3, RC, it is installed for you automatically. So the version 2.0 of this tool is automatically installed with Update 3, which means you don't have to go get the extension. But more importantly, it's way more discoverable.
Yeah.
So now, if I create a brand new project, notice that in the new project dialog, I have the ability to add Application Insights to this project. And you'll need to renew your login for me, if you don't mind.
If I remember my password. There you go.
Okay. So at the time I create this, I can add Application Insights to the project, which is going to do essentially what the current extension does. Let's continue putting this. Now let's switch back to TFS. Doesn't really matter, but
I think you just connect to Git, it'll be easier.
Yeah, probably.
Sorry.
Or just cancel out of it. Because what we really want is this dialogue here where we are installing the NuGet packages for Application Insights. So again, it's built in. You have the ability to ask for it up front when you create the project. You can, of course, choose not to. But rather than having to download the extension and go find this, it's built right in.
Yeah, so Application Insights, you know, going forward will be in the box with future updates.
Yep.
And the cool thing, you know, about this new kind of ecosystem of the way we ship things is the extension is in the box but updatable externally, so we can ship that in our own pace. Mm-hmm. And then the assemblies with your project, the NuGet packages, also ship their own pace. So it's kind of cool, you know, your whole ecosystem is really being delivered as things are being fixed or improved.
Right. So let's look at another way to do this. Let's just create a web project now, and let's choose not to add the Application Insights right off the bat. Oops. I think I accidentally clicked cancel. Yeah. There we go. Let's create an MVC application. We can choose to host it in the cloud or not. This was actually added in Update 2, this feature here, the ability to immediately do this. And I'm going to choose to do that. I'm going to put this in your Azure account, if you don't mind.
You're going to pollute my Azure account.
I'm not going to pollute nothing.
Pollute.
So we've got your subscription here.
Do you know how many demo instances I have in there? I really
should clean
it up at some point.
We select a region. We can choose whether or not there's a database involved. We'll say no. And again, all of this came in Update 2, but it's always worth pointing out. So we're going to create this project. And then there is a publish activity window. There it is, the web publish activity, which is shows you that it's creating the Azure website. And then we can publish this immediately to Azure, which just pops up the publish dialog completely filled out, and we can now publish this up to Azure. So again, that was all in Update 2, but again, worth pointing out. So now I have this application, and I decide, oh, I want to enable Application Insights on this. I want to be able to poke around and see what's going on. Okay, so here's this application, and when it shows up, we'll see that is just amazing. It works great, it's been fully tested, and it's perfect. Okay, so now I'm going to right-click on this and add Application Insights telemetry to the project.
Yeah, you certainly don't have to do it, you know, from the beginning. You can certainly choose at any point to add it, and the tooling works with web and store apps today.
Okay, so I'm going to do that, which again will show us this dialog, adding the Application Insights to the project, downloading the NuGet package. The cool thing about, one of the things I love about Visual Studio is with each release, it just gets easier and easier, right? The more stuff that's built in. The Azure tooling is phenomenal. This tooling is now built in. It's just so much easier to do types of things.
Yeah, if you imagine what this used to be like, I mean, just adding the right DLLs, changing your config files, I mean, all the stuff that it's doing for you right now, wiring it up. To just add Application Insights, forget publishing to the cloud and
so now let's run this, which I want to run in Internet Explorer. Okay, so I run this to test it. And if I switch back to Visual Studio, is it running? Yep. Switch back to Visual Studio. Whoops. Weird. On my machine, I had an Application Insights button here. Do you know where that is?
Try right-clicking. It's probably the menus are hidden. It's probably not enabled.
Was it a other window?
If it's on your toolbar, just right-click on the toolbar. You'll get a different menu to select from. Yeah. Up all the way to the top, the very first option.
Application there Insights. There it is.
Nothing like a little discovery.
Cool. So now I get this Application Insights button, which I can click, and that's going to take me to the brand new Azure portal. Right? So today, you get your Application Insights information on the Visual Studio Online portal. These two will be merged. Visual Studio Online and the Azure portal are going to combine. And then in here, I would be able to check out, browse, go to my websites.
Yeah, it's not going to show right now because you're logged in with a different user. You'd have to log in as my other account.
Oh, okay. All right. But at any rate, this is where I would come and get the insights data. Now, I should mention that at the moment, right now, the hooking up is not completely done. So you can add the application insights to your brand new projects with the brand new extension, but it'll take another couple of weeks for that information to start showing up on the portal, right? This is RC, and things will roll out fairly quickly, but it'll be a little bit before you can come and actually see this information here.
The complexity of services and software, right?
If you wanted to continue using the current application insights the way you do it now and looking at the Visual Studio, seeing the data on Visual Studio Online, then you'd replace the extension with the currently existing one.
If you you can certainly uninstall the 2.0 extension and go back to the previous extension. That does work. I've tested it. So
or just wait a few weeks and it'll all work with the current extension.
Yeah, whichever is clever enough. Okay. Application Insights is in preview. Our update 3 is in RC. Everything is there for you to test it. Give us feedback. We'd love to hear from you, of course.
Great integration in terms of the extension automatically being there, and the combining of the two portals. It's definitely getting a lot easier.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Awesome.
I'm done.
So let's look about a few more things here that shipped. So we'll stop this demo. All right. So I'm going to point out a couple of things real quick because I want folks to kind of be empowered to learn more. Of things that we don't show. We can't show everything today. So I'll show a couple of blog posts. Everything will be in the show links. Everything is in a PowerPoint as well, whichever you want to look at. So I put a couple of links on my desktop here. So for example, we have a blog post that's already up. Talks about the release management, desired state configuration changes. That's something that's shipping as part of this update, as part of the release management update of update 3. So certainly, if desired state configuration is something that you really care about, there's a great blog post right there that'll help you get through that. We also have changes to test case management. So if you patch TFS with update 3, you're going to finally get the ability to customize your test suites and plans. This is something that folks have really wanted to do for quite a bit of time. The challenge with testing is that, the way that Microsoft kind of sets these work items up, the test cases, test suites, is not necessarily how you work, right? So this has been a long-standing request from our community, add the capability to add fields, change states, et cetera. So we've added that to the update. This blog post will walk you through all the changes. We added even more permissioning configuration, so you can configure around test case management more, who can do what. You can also see history a bit better, so you can finally see sort of the changes in a more granular way of how values are changing. So again, there's a great blog post that covers that as well. So we're just not going to have time to demo that today. And I'm also going to point out that we have a couple of miscellaneous changes in there. I will demo one of them. This one is miscellaneous, but I think a lot of folks will appreciate. So one of the things that our community has told us, at least some folks in the community, I personally don't feel like this, but certain people do, is that the old caps menus in Visual Studio, right there, right? So these all kept menus are something that annoys them. It wasn't like that in the previous version of Visual Studio. They used to be camel casing.
Yes.
And something that people wanted us to improve. So we've added an option in this update. If you search for all caps in the top right quick launch, or if you just go to in options environment in general, you're going to see a new option. The new option is right here. Turn off uppercase in menus.
Cool.
Small thing, but I think some folks will really appreciate that. Click that option, hit OK, and all my menus up here are now camel cased. It's just that simple.
I know, now that looks weird.
That looks weird, doesn't it? I am going to change this back. I am, and also this setting will roam with your profile. So if you change it on one machine, it's going to change it on all the machines that are roaming.
I actually did not know that we had changed to all caps until I heard about the controversy that we had changed to all caps. I never actually noticed.
Yeah. Well, change is hard. And, look, aesthetics are aesthetics, and you can never say to a person you're wrong
for not liking
this.
But I think it's great to have the option.
Yes, so now we have the option.
That's a very, very nice feature.
I am a huge fan of options. Give people options, right?
Not a huge amount of work, and a lot of people will be happier for it.
Exactly. So that's a small option, but I figured I'd show it. That's kind of cool. So right now I want to change gears and talk about code map. We've had a code map feature in Visual Studio for a while now. Code map is a visualization tool. So think of code map as an ability to look at your source code and say, let me visualize it to see the classes and how they're interacting, how the methods are talking to each other. It's also a debugging capability because sometimes the call stack isn't the best way to sort of understand what's happening. Mm-hmm. It's certainly a way. So code map against the call stack is just another way to say, look at my code from the execution standpoint as well. So it's pretty cool, and I wanted to show some
feature of what versions?
In terms of when
Premium,
it started.
Ultimate, Pro?
It's an Ultimate feature,
okay.
If I'm remembering correctly. You know, our feature matrix is the best for this. I forget sometimes, but yeah, it's certainly not a lower-end feature of Visual Studio. So I'm going to open up an application that I have here. And let's start with StockTrader. So this is a sample app our Patterns and Practices team built. They actually just shipped version 5 of Prism for WPF and .NET 4.5, so that's pretty cool. And this is their sample application that they ship with it. So this is a full-blown, I'll start it just to show, it's a full-blown WPF app. It's modular, it's used, you know, MVVM is used to create it. It has modules, it has regions, everything that Prism is known for. We obviously aren't here to explore Prism in any detail, but it's a full-fledged app. So one of the cool things that you can do today is you can explore how certain things work in there. So I want to use the search in the Solution Explorer to find something called Orders Controller, because that's something that I want to explore. And I want to understand sort of how orders work a little bit better. So I'm going to open up the class. And I'm going to say, OK, so if I go to Order Explorer and you know I'm looking through this, all right, so I kind of can take a stab at sort of where this is going to begin. So maybe starting an order begins here. That sounds reasonable. The method is called start order. That's a pretty good place to go. So I'm going to hit start.
You are so smart.
Yeah, I'm a genius. And I'm going to start an order by clicking here. And all of a sudden, my code hits. So normally, I could look at my call stack, and I could see sort of how I got here. But CodeNap lets you visualize that even better. So even though you can see the on by execute got us to this method, I can click on the show on CodeMap, and this brings up the ability to visualize my call stack on the CodeMap itself. Let's put that away. So now this is running, and it's going to
be much easier to see what's going on.
It certainly gives you a great sense, and it fully supports the things you would expect. So if you double click, it takes you in the source code, right, to the different function that got us there. It shows you arrows with information of sort of what's happening, you know, how are these things related. So you can really debug through this, and I'm just going to step through the code some more. Let's keep going. Oh, and all of a sudden, I can see that, all right, some things have happened.
Cool.
We went from there to here. You know, this function is now running as part of this. I mean, it's really visualizing exactly. So I can kind of keep going through here and see how different things are part of this operation, right? So it wasn't just like, I'll run this to end. Oops. But if you think about the way we normally would be exploring this code, is we'd be like stopping and looking at the function name, we'd be putting breakpoints all over the place. This really, you know, lets us go and say, all right, so now I kind of know how I got here. It's a really cool capability. One of the things that we heard from feedback is that
and this capability has been in 2013.
Since the beginning.
The beginning.
Yeah,
right.
I'm pretty sure since the beginning.
Yep.
Certainly since old update. So that's kind of cool. But one of the things that we've improved here is when this code map used to come up for these kind of debug scenarios, right, a breakpoint or an exception, and you wanted to bring it up on the code map, if it was a very large code map, the zoom level wasn't always right. So now the zoom level tries to be smarter about trying to kind of bring things into view. And we also respect your zoom level. So if you say to us, look, I really want to be this close, you know, I really want to be this close, whenever you restart, it's not going to change your zoom level anymore. So the zoom level is just a little bit nicer.
So the zoom level persists?
Yes, the zoom level persists as the code map is open. So that's a cool feature. We've also added the ability, and I'll show this slightly different way. So I'll do a code map just from my class instead of doing it from my debug session. So I'm going to say right-click on this class and say, I want to show it on a code map. Let's do a new one. Just to simplify, show on code map. So now you can explore orders controller, and you can expand it out and kind of see exactly what's going on. It's a much more complete picture of everything that happens. So the order controller has a bunch of methods, and these methods call other methods, and they have dependencies. And one thing we heard from before this update is all these arrows are great, they're showing the connection points, but they're not very helpful because they don't have colors before update 3. Now we've added colors. And the colors actually indicate different things, and if you click on legend here, you can see that we've added a bunch of information here about what the colors are, and the arrows are colorized. You can always highlight with the mouse to see what it is as well. So that's pretty cool.
Very good.
So that's a cool feature. Another interesting capability of CodeMap in this release, I like this one a lot. Let's open up my temp folder here. So imagine you get a a library from somebody, a DLL, and you'd love to explore the DLL, and CodeMap in theory seems like a good way to do that, but you don't have the source code handy, or maybe you don't have the source code at all. Sometimes you can kind of see this from a perspective of, you know, you've pulled down some NuGet package, you now want to see kind of how things internally work. So we've said, you know what, we can actually enable that scenario for you. So I'm going to go ahead and go to our Architecture Explorer. So I'm going to open up Architecture Explorer, and I'm going to click on this little button that says Create New Diagram. This just creates a blank diagram that can be a code map. I'm then going to go to my file system, and in this case, I'll pick something that, you know, I tested, nothing like saying, hey, let's change the demo right before you do it. Now I'm going to do it the smart way. I'm going to say this news module. So even though the source code is there for it, but it's not required. Okay. So I'm going to just drag a DLL onto the surface. It's going to visualize the DLL for you. It's actually going to go and do reflection against the DLL and let you explore that DLL the same way you would expect. And it's great because, you know, you can go from just a library that you don't maybe have a lot of documentation on, or maybe you're not sure sort of how code flows through it. It's all about, you know, their dependencies, their relationships, and the code flow of the library. So that's a really great way to do it, and it's all available as part of this update.
Very cool.
All right. So that was CodeMap. Let's talk about .NET managed memory debugging.
Yes.
So in update, I want to say update 2. I really should create a chart for myself, like when do we add features? That would be helpful. But in one of the recent updates, we added the ability to debug .NET managed memory dumps. So let's go ahead and start and create a new project here. I'll open up a new project that I've created previously called Slide Viewer. And what I've done is I've ran this silly little WPF app. I'll just run it while we talk. So I've ran this app, and I've taken a couple of memory dumps of it.
Okay.
Now, imagine the real-world scenario. You're running this in production. It's just a simple little picture viewer in this case. But you're running some app in production, WinForms, WPF. It doesn't quite matter. Some .NET managed memory application. And you're having a memory leak. Or you're not sure about kind of what's going on with your memory. Maybe it's doing something that you didn't expect, growing too fast or shrinking too fast. Who knows? And you want to look at its memory. So what we added in previous updates was the ability to take multiple snapshots using Task Manager or whatever, take the memory dumps, and then use our tool to analyze the memory, do comparison, try to find out, you know, where memory is going up or down, how it's changing, where it's leaking. It's a really rich tool. But one of the things that we were missing was the ability kind of to go from there back to source code. And if you have the source code for the solution, it's be great to do that. So we added two new capabilities at update 3. Mm-hmm. And that capability is go to definition and final references. So I'm going to go ahead and demo that. I've already taken a memory dump from here. So I'm just going to go back to Visual Studio. I have the solution open. So this is the source code that created the project that then I took a memory dump of. And I'm going to go to my demos folder where I have memory dumps. So here's my almost 1 gigabyte memory dump. So it's a really large file. And I'm just going to drag it into Visual Studio, not like into a code window, but into an empty space. So this opens up the mini dump file summary. It gives you various information about the memory dump. But over here in the right-hand corner, since I believe update 2, we've had this debug manage memory option. That's the new feature. So when you click on that, it's going to go through, analyze the heap.
This was added for, originally it was just for Windows 8 applications, right? Now, the ability to do it in a WPF app is...
No. I know what you're thinking about, but you're thinking of the memory usage analyzer. We'll talk about that next.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
When I did this demo recently, I screwed that same thing up. So we do have this thing called the memory usage analyzer, but we also the ability to debug memory dumps using the .NET managed memory debugging capability. And they have different purposes in life, right? And I'll show the other purpose in life, but this purpose in life is you have a memory dump.
Now, for the viewers watching this, it doesn't really matter that much when features appeared, right? For doing a show like this, we kind of want to be able to get it straight, but these are just features of the product.
Yes.
So whether it appeared in this update or was there all along, it's and that level irrelevant because it is in there.
Yeah. Okay. The great thing is when you install an update, it's cumulative.
Yes.
Right? That solves a lot of the questions. Yep. Well, do I need to get update 2 to get that feature? If I get update 3? No. Just get update 3, RC, RTM, whichever you're comfortable with. You'll get all the capabilities.
But we digress.
Yeah, we digress. We always digress, but that's okay. Our viewers, I think, already expect that from us. All right. So here, I can actually go ahead and inspect the memory. So I'm going to zoom in a little to show folks what that looks like. So here, I am actually looking at what the memory dump captured. And Visual Studio is smart enough to actually reflect against the you know, memory file and say, mm-hmm. oh, all these things, I know what they are, right? This is a list view, this is a control template, this is something from the code in the application, so it's actually showing it to you. And I'll show you one cool thing. So for example, if I was curious what my view model was doing during this time, I can filter, there's a filter in the top right here. I can say view model, hit enter, and it's actually gonna show me that my view model you know, is there, there's one count of it. So, mm-hmm. you know, maybe my view model is being created over and over if some window's loading. Well, that's not the case here. You can see its size. You can see if you can actually load a comparison. I don't have one right now, but if I did browse, I can select the second memory dump and it would show me side by side how my view model has been increasing or decreasing in size and reference count. So all that information is comparable always. So mm-hmm. I'm showing you a very simplistic scenario, but you can imagine a real debug needs at least, you know, two dumps hopefully to compare to. But even if I just want to explore, I can right click on it and I can say, well, you know, actually I don't remember where in my application my view model is being used. You can say final references as one way to do it. Oops, did I click on that? Yeah, well, you know how it is, demos and all. This was working for me right before I walked into the studio, as always. But you can certainly do that, and as long as the right source code, the right debug samples were loaded, the go-to definition will work in some scenarios, the final references will work in the vast majority of scenarios. Okay. So this does work in the real world. There's just, I'm sure I configured something incorrectly here. But one thing you could do is you can say view instance. I feel like my world here is turning upside down. All right, let's try that demo one more time. All right, so here I am loading the project again, going to filter, model. All right, yeah, sorry. Not sure why I had to double click, but so now you can view the instance of the object and you can actually get really rich data. So if you have a bunch of strings loaded, you can see them, you can see what the properties were set to. Mm-hmm. So imagine this tool as a way to say, I want to explore what was in memory of my application at the time. And also I want to compare how my memory changed between two memory dumps that I took at two different times. And if you have all your symbols and everything loaded, your solution loaded properly, you'll be able to final references and now go to definition. So two really cool features right there. We've also added another capability, and this is what I want to contrast for the viewer. So this was the scenario where I might not have access as a developer to the machine, but I got a memory dump somehow, right?
Right.
Or whatever, right? So the memory dump came to you, the DMP file, standard Windows dump files. But you might have another scenario where you're developing the application and you want to make sure that you don't need those dump files, right? It's always nice to get dump files, but who really wants them? So you might want to say, I want to prepare my application so well that it doesn't have memory leaks. But to do that, you need something to help you, ideally. So we have in the debugging and diagnostics hub, so if I go to debug, and if I go to the performance and diagnostics feature, so here we have something called the memory usage tool. The memory usage tool, as of this release, so update 3, RC or forward, we'll have the ability to finally target WPF and Win32 applications. That's what you were thinking of earlier.
Right.
So the .NET Managed Memory Debugger, the Memory Dump Debugger has supported WPF and other Win32, but Managed Memory applications. But this tool goes beyond that even, right? So anything Win32 or Managed Memory will work here, including, of course, Store, Phone, has really rich integration, but also WPF in this release. CPU usage is another tool that also works, but it's always worked with everything. The one new thing that we added to CPU usage tool is now you can navigate to the source. So we did add another feature. I'm not going to demo that today, but in Update 3 adds another capability to CPU usage. But really, I'll show this one because it's a new capability. So here I have my WPF app. I selected memory usage. I'm going to hit start. It's going to ask me, can I run this collector? I'm just going to say, of course. Why else would I click start? All right, so here's my application. And my app is written very poorly by design, or maybe because I'm the one who wrote it, so it's loading a bunch of images. So this is the initial state, and here's my tool running in the background. So the tool is running.
That takes a lot of memory. That's how you know it was written poorly?
Yeah, that's it.
It appears to do what it's supposed to do. It shows a bunch of cool images.
Yeah, so it's capturing, you know, where it is right now.
It's a bit of a memory hog.
Yeah, a bit of memory hog. But then you have this take snapshot button. This is where you can tell the tool, take a snapshot in time of what my memory looked like. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. When I was at .NET Conf, I beat my head against the wall a little during this demo. I forgot that this button was here. Huh. And I kept thinking it would just magically collect all the data. No, it needs you to tell it when to take a snapshot. So okay. I'm going to take a snapshot. It's going to take it. I'm going to go back to the application, and I'm going to say, all right, so now I'm going to hit refresh. Why is this refresh? I mean, it doesn't seem to be doing anything. I could have sworn I added some more pictures, and then you start scrolling, you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot to clear this list, didn't I? This list view here is being populated over and over and over every time I hit refresh. Very, Dimitri, bad programming. Then I come back here, and I'm like, oh wow, yeah, my memory's going up. That kind of makes sense. More images are being loaded into memory.
Although, interestingly, it only went up by a little bit, so.
Yeah, you know, it's doing some things, you know, the platform itself to optimize, but it's certainly going up. Hitting refresh, I wouldn't expect it to keep going up, right? And if I hit the refresh enough, I could imagine memory just will keep going up indefinitely. So I'm going to take another snapshot. So now I have two snapshots in time. Another new feature they added to this tool for all platforms, but including the one we're doing WPF today for, is sometimes at this point, you know, you've taken maybe a few of these, and you're like, man, you know what I'm thinking in my back of my head? If only garbage collector kicked in, it probably would solve my problem, or maybe it would reduce my problem. So the garbage collector could, for very good reasons, decide not to collect memory. Mm-hmm. So your memory at some point might go up a little bit, and you might say to yourself, why is it going up? It's going up because it's doing what it's designed to do in that particular case. So forcing garbage collection, having this button here is a huge step forward. So you can click that, and you can say, you know what, I'm going to give it a second. I'm going to take another snapshot. So now you can actually see your app through time. You can say, did garbage collector fix it? I don't think it did in my case, right? My graph did not change. So I'm going to stop collecting. It's going to do some quick analysis here. All right, then it's going to give me the comparison. So the comparison here, the way you think about it, I'm going to zoom in for our audience a little bit, is this is the baseline. So it has no ups or downs because this is where it started. In fact, it says the word baseline. Yes. But then it goes to, okay, it just went up, right? So the memory went up and the number of objects in memory went up. That sometimes are you know, different things, but could mean important things to you. I can imagine that even if memory isn't going up, if I'm seeing a lot of objects in memory, mm-hmm. it could say that some screen keeps loading, unloading, and all its, you know, objects are staying in memory, but it's not really a heavy screen, so maybe memory doesn't even spike that much in the grand scheme of things. But you might catch the fact that that's not right. It should never, it should collect out properly. And there is a small downturn right here when I did my forced garbage collection, but I mean look at the numbers.
It's minuscule.
Yeah, it's minuscule, so that's not fixing my problem.
Solving the problem.
So I can go ahead and come back here, and I can click into the view. So no matter if you click here or here, it's actually going to take you to the same snapshot view. It's going to compare the baseline, the previous, to the next one. If I was to click here on the little green arrow, it would show me the comparison of the middle one to the last one. So it always mm-hmm. does that left to right comparison. I'm going to click in the middle, and the only difference between this arrow and this arrow is the sort by default will be either by memory or object count. That's all. So I'm going to click on the memory one. And it's going to show me what's happening. It's going to show me the fact that there was a count and there's a count differential. You know, it added 588 items. There was a size and there was a size differential. So it's actually showing me the columns indicate how memory went up. And you have the same kind of rich, the same as in the .NET Managed Memory Debugger, rich information where you can actually explore down. You can extend these things out. You can see its instances. You can see what's in that instance. It's pretty powerful capability. You can go through here. In fact, I'm going to do a very similar demo. I'm going to say, don't hide small objects. That's something it does by default. I actually want to see my view model. So I can do a search. So if I'm looking for something mm-hmm. in particular, some list view or some image control or some view model, I can go ahead and do that. And you know, there's capabilities such as view source, you know, that will take you to the source code when that's properly wired up. You have also the ability, oh, this is nice. I know folks will appreciate that. Let's go back here. Sorry, I hit. So there's arrows in the top left here. You mm-hmm. can actually navigate back. You can say, show me this view or take me back into the view that I was in. What I really wanted to do was clear the filter. So sorry about that. What you can do from here, sometimes this is great information, but you want to take it out to Excel or something else, an email, some other forum where you want to communicate. We used to always support, I believe, the right-click copy, but now you can do multiple rows, and you can hit copy.
Okay.
And that ports to Excel or Notepad really well. When things work right. Copy. I think my Visual Studio hates me today. That's the only explanation, but it's all right. Dimitri, don't get angry. Everything's going to be all right. So another thing we added in this release is the module. This was a request from folks. It's great that you're showing me that there's some view model that's increasing in size. I don't know which module it's in. You know, sometimes that's a question. So we've added the module information as well. And we've also improved the native heap analysis. So we made it faster. So when it's doing when native heap's involved in analyzing this, it's going to have better performance. So that's another great feature.
Cool.
Of this tool. Another thing that we added to the hub, right, to the debugging diagnostics feature is Internet Explorer is doing a new thing. Maybe folks have heard about it, called the IE Developer Channel. So the IE Developer Channel is a way to run another version of IE on the same machine side by side of, let's say, IE 11 RTM that's, you know, in Windows 8.1. Mm-hmm. And maybe you want the latest version of IE 11, the beta sort of for developers. You can run them side by side now. Well, in Internet Explorer, I'll open that up real quick, we have something called developer tools, right? So if you click F12, you get these developer tools. One of them is the UI Responsiveness Analyzer. You can actually take any website. It does not have to have anything to do with Visual Studio whatsoever. And you can capture some UI responsiveness data. And then you might want to use Visual Studio on the backside to do analysis of that data to actually review it. We've added the ability to import from developer channel into Visual Studio. So even though that works today for the RTM version, with Update 3, it works for RTM or the developer channel version of cool. UI responsiveness. So that's another cool feature. And once again, I want to point out that everything we demoed is available to you in our blog. So for example, memory usage changes, there's a blog post on that. So the team did a great job. WPF and 132 support, they go through each of the features. They show this actually working. You see, they're making me look bad here. They're showing how it's actually copying. They're showing the modular info. They're giving you really great information here as well. Hey, Robert, this guy looks familiar on the right-hand side, this advertisement. I hate advertisement.
Good product placement.
They keep pushing these shows on me. It's terrible. Then we have another one on the memory dumps. So here they're going to describe to you exactly how the go-to source option works, final references. Once again, you know, showing you the different kind of examples where you can go from looking at this like sample data item, and you might want to say, well, where's that in my source code? And it will actually take you to the class with that capability. So that's pretty cool. And
we'll have links to all of these posts and additional ones in the show write-up.
Yeah, and of course, all the code map stuff we showed is here as well. So that's some of the top features. And again, we'll have links to everything in the show notes, like you said. And hopefully folks will check it out. We'd love to hear your feedback. It's still a great time to get feedback. RC is not RTM.
Right.
Let us know if something doesn't work for you. Thank you so much.
So that's a good overview of the stuff coming in Update 3. You showed the posts which were written for the Update 3 CTP. So folks need to understand that the way we do this is we're constantly putting out CTPs, which are really early bits.
Yeah.
We used to call them alphas back in the day, but now we call them CTPs, Community Tactical Preview is what that stands for. And then a lot of the teams are actually writing up the features then. So you don't have to wait for the RC or the RTW to learn what the features are.
Yeah.
And then you can decide when you want to install the bits, right? A CTP, we would highly recommend you don't put on your production machine because there's guaranteed to be stuff that doesn't work. By the time we get to RC,
and there was
stuff
that didn't work. It's a CTP.
It's an early preview.
I use VMs for these all the time.
By the time we get to RC, we have a go live license, which means although it's not perfect yet, we think it's good enough that you could actually use this stuff.
Yeah.
And then of course, when it releases finally, then you know it all works.
Yeah, and we had a lot of great posts. I mean, here's kind of a summary. And we have release notes now in Visual Studio. So that's something that we've been working on since the build timeframe. Mm-hmm. So we've had the Update 2 timeline, and Update 3 will have release notes as well. So if you go to visualstudio.com, click on News, there's full release notes now for every update, starting from RC. And it has all the links to the blog post. So even if at some point in the future, if you forget which episode of Toolbox you saw something in, but you realize it's in one of the updates, go to visualstudio.com, go to News. You know, we're committed to give you kind of a clear one place to go,
That's cool.
For the information. So that's all up there, and we'll have it all in the show notes.
All right. So RC, it's available for download. Get it if you like. Play with it. If you decide to wait for it to be done and released, that's cool. This is a good overview of the types of features you'll get. Hope you enjoyed that, and we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.
Take care. Thank you.